Would you date a guy that makes 75K a year?
That's so cute. No.
Fire truck red flag. Big red flag.
Never spent the night in 2 years?
No.
No sex?
No sex.
If you're dating someone and you're not married to them and there's no sex, green flag. You're so emotionally invested, you can't even see the red flags. And specifically, my ladies, you gotta guard your heart. Stop dragging men. But he cannot lead you if he ain't following Jesus. I don't want to say that the dating pool out there is bad, but from what I hear from the singles, there's a lot of pee in that pool.
This is The Deep End with LaCrae.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, especially ladies. We need to talk about relationships. I don't want to say that the dating pool out there is bad, but from what I hear from the singles, there's a lot of pee in that pool. I guess, you know, I have sisters. I got a brother who's also single. I got cousins. And I try to help them navigate these things. They bring a lot of these things to my attention, and I try to help them process it. But sometimes the stuff they bring to me is wild. The issues that I hear they have to wrestle through are crazy. And I'm like, this is a clear red flag. But some things are a green flag. Now, true story. My younger sister, she was just dealing with some knuckleheads, if I'm gonna be honest. You know, they just weren't good for her. And we had a talk, and I said, hey, the next time you feel like you might like a guy, let me do my investigation. Let me give you my perspective before you make a decision. She did that. I gave her a green flag, and she's been happily married now for quite some time with my little nieces in tow. All I'm saying is that, ladies, guys know. We know about guys, and I just want to be helpful. Now, I've been in a relationship for over 18 years, so I might know something about relationships. I might. Just saying. I just want to help y'all. I want to help y'all with y'all relationship situation. And I'm going to do this today. I'm going to give you some red flags. I got my guy, Matt. When it's a red flag, you're going to see the red in the background, okay? But then if it's a green flag, like, oh, this is a good, okay, I'm with it. You're going to see some green happening back here in the background. And that's how you'll know what we're dealing with out here today in these dating streets. So just let me be your guru. Let me be your guide today, okay? Let me just help you. I'm not saying I have all the answers, but I probably have more than some of these influencers that you're listening to out here. I may have something for you. So let's do it, man. Let's get into this. I want to do this. I want to answer some questions and not just answer questions that I've just heard, but I want to like dig into some of the stuff that's floating around on the internet. Because the internet is where some of y'all are getting some of these perspectives from. And I just want to say, like, you got to be careful. So let's look at some of this stuff.
So what if you can walk into a restaurant and order every single one of your favorite meals from the same restaurant? That'd be like unheard of, right? Well, I don't have a restaurant recommendation for you that can do that, but I have a place where you can get all the soul food that you need. Literally food for your soul. And that's the B-side. A place where the content from the people who can speak to your soul, help you grow, help you to wrestle with the hard things in life, all exist in one place. And that's the B-side app. So the B-side app is where you get to hear incredible content from people like Tim Ross, myself, and countless others. Some incredible talks, some incredible deep dives into things that are life transforming, scriptural resources, devotionals, conversations that you are not get anywhere else They all exist on the B side. So we need you to go there because it's the only place you're going to get everything you need at one stop.
And let's figure out, like, literally, if this is a red flag or a green flag, and let's break it down so that you can have a healthy, happy, whole relationship, okay? Y'all ready? Let's take this journey.
Next red flag is more so if you have been in a relationship with this person for a while, like several months or something. I think it's a red flag after being his girlfriend for at least a little while if he never posts any photos of you on his social media. Now, of course, some guys don't have social media, or they had one, but they don't really use it anymore. Like, you know, it's still on the internet, but he just doesn't ever log in anymore. He doesn't ever use it. He doesn't ever post photos anymore. So in that case, if he's not posting a photo of you, that is totally fine. It's in line with his normal behavior. And honestly, I love a man that's not very active on social media. I think in general that that's a good thing. But if he's normally on social media, and if he's regularly posting photos after you guys being together for months, and he has never once posted a photo of you guys together, that screams red flag to me. That sounds like he might not want to put it out there for some reason.
Is this a red flag? Absolutely. Red flag situation. Let me tell you why. Because it's about consistency. It's about if he's consistently posting, he's posting about what? His life, his world, his perspective, what he's got going on, and none of that includes you? Yeah, I would say it's a red flag. That's something to be worried about. But let me take it a step deeper. I say it's a red flag, period, if you're dealing with someone who's constantly posting about themselves online. Red flag alert. And the reason why I'm saying that is because what it could be demonstrating is a huge insecurity. It's a deficit of a sense of worth and value because they have to let you know, they have to let the world know that they matter all the time. Now, I'm talking about a person who's obsessive. Every day, I got to get my post right. I got to get this, my angles, this shot. We got to get this shot. This needs to be posted. This needs to be posted. If that's their life, now, mind you, they have a brand or they are, you know, an artist or a celebrity or they're selling something, completely different story. But just your normal run-of-the-mill individual who works in whatever field they work in and they are overly consumed with posting about themselves on social media, that's a red flag because to me it says they crave attention in a broken area, and you're not going to be able to fix that, right? They need that affirmation from the outside world. And, you know, if they can't find a sense of worth and affirmation in who God made them to be, they need that outside affirmation from all these random people they don't know. They need some therapy. But yeah, if they're an average poster, just, hey, walking the dogs or, you know, just decided they wanted to post something because family and friends checked it out and they don't include you, I would say, man, it's worth a question. Well, first of all, why are y'all that deep into the relationship to where you have to like now see that's a red flag? I would, in my mind, I would be like, I would, hopefully you know this person well enough by the stage where you're getting your feelings hurt because they're not posting about you that when they don't, you know, it's you already knew this was coming. Like, I need you to know these people. I think this is part of the problem. Like, again, red flags to me are healthiest when they're found in cultivating friendships versus being in the relationship already. And now you're looking for red flags. Well, you put yourself in an emotional deficit at this point in time because you got your feelings all invested. And now you're looking for red flags versus if you have been friends with this person, not been romantically involved, not have your heart just absorbed in them, you're not having to deal with all this stuff. But I digress. Some of you are already where you are. So let's keep walking down the line.
Well, I've been dating the most amazing man for the past 2 years. He goes above and beyond for me and my kids. My kids and my mom adore him, which is very important to me. He's very old-fashioned, which I love. He opens every door for me. He always holds my hand. He won't let me pay for anything. Mm. He's very cuddly. You know, we have passionate kisses, hello and goodbye, but he never spends the night. And
2 years? Yes. 2 years?
2 years.
He's never spent the night in 2 years?
No.
No sex?
No sex.
Oh!
Here's the thing. If you're dating someone and you're not married to them and there's no sex and y'all both love Jesus, green flag. Green flag all day. Now, there's a lot of context here that we got to deal with, okay? There's a way that the world operates outside of biblical principles that just has to be taken into consideration, right? If we're talking about an individual who has no relationship with Jesus, does not desire to try to follow Jesus, they're not guided, the authority of the scriptures is not their authority because they're not a follower of Christ, then I understand why people would say that's a red flag. Because what? We live off of instinct. We live off of the cultural cues. And the cultural cues say premarital sex is fine and should be, you know, it should happen when you feel most comfortable. It's more about feeling than it is about, you know, what the scripture says. So the culture is going to say red flag because, hey, after 2 years, you should feel like sleeping with your partner. The scripture, of course, says that, you know, sex is meant for marriage. And so, you know, biblically, your body is a temple and you have to see your body as a temple. The only people allowed in the temple in biblical times were the priests. The priest had, that was the only person who was allowed to enter in that temple. If your body's a temple, there's only one person who is allowed to enter the temple, and that's the priest. That's the one that God has ordained to enter. If your body's a temple, there's only one person that God has ordained to enter. That's your spouse, right? You're only supposed to engage in this form of covenantal intimacy with your spouse if you are a follower of Christ. Now, we fall short. Some people have fallen short. Some people have, you know, done this. I think we have made sex outside of marriage as the unpardonable sin. It's not the unpardonable sin. It has more implications than just lying oftentimes. It has more long-term effects on a human being. You've become one with someone. So, you know, God sees that as something special. So I think it's a green flag for anybody who's trying to follow the Lord to abstain before marriage. That's a beautiful thing. That's God honoring. It says that, you know, you're two people who want to honor God before you enter into a covenant. And now as you've entered into the covenant, there's something that you guys get to share that you did not get to share with each other before that. Now you belong to one another. And so, yeah, man, like a lot of people are out here saying, nah, don't buy the cow before you, you know, you've tried it out. Don't buy the cart before the horse. And, you know, you want to test it out before you get it there. But that's not the way God designed it. The way God designed it is for both of you guys to be in a perfect world. Both of us are ignorant of what this experience is, and we're going to learn it together. Now, we're in a fallen world. Lots of us have made decisions prior to marriage that, you know, were not ideal. But God has taught us how to redeem that and, you know, given us the opportunity to work through those particular things. So absolutely, man. Nah, green flag if you are a follower of Jesus and you are not trying to get in the bed with somebody who don't belong to you all day. In this situation, there's another flag. In my mind, it's called therapy flag. Actually, in this situation, it's the Jesus flag. So maybe that's the red flag. It's the blood of Jesus. Y'all need the blood of Jesus in this situation.
Red flag number one in men to look for. He asks you to go 50-50 on the bills. Now, listen, I'm joking and I'm kind of not joking, okay? Let me break this down for you. So now, clearly, asking you to go 50-50 is a relationship thing, and we've gone past the dating phase. But let's start with the dating phase. You go on a date. Let's say a man asks you out on a date, and this man is asking you at the end of the night to now split the bill with him. or to even cover the bill with him. This is a red flag to me. Now, here's the thing. It's not that I think it's wrong if a woman decides she wants to pay for a date. Not that I'm telling you you should. That's your decision, okay? Nothing wrong if you decided you want to go Dutch. Whatever the case may be, if you offer to cover the tip, I always say that's a great thing, just offering to pay for the tip. All those things are okay, but we're talking about this man took it upon himself to ask you on a date and then ask you to either go half or pay for the date. Here's the thing. No man who is serious or trying to impress a woman is going to be taking the risk of asking her to go half. I'm not saying it's impossible for a man to like a woman and do that, but it is extremely unlikely, all right? Because men understand that when they find something or find a woman that they value or see value in, that they highly desire, they're trying to make sure they give themselves the best chance of moving forward with that woman in whatever direction they're trying to go. So men inherently know pulling a move like that, it's like it's probably going to work against you. So the fact that he's willing to...
All right. You're on a date and a guy asks for you to pay 50-50. This is layered, but it is an absolute red flag. Absolute red flag. Now, this is layered. Let's start with layer one, because I'm going to get deep with it, because I know some of y'all are thinkers. Some of y'all are processing like gender role, not even gender roles, but gender roles, and y'all are processing like, you know, egalitarianism and patriarchy. And I know some of y'all are on that wavelength, but let me just start at a surface level. Okay. Very surface level. Ladies, if he asks you to pay anything, the man does not know how to read the room. The culture and society that we live in, that's a social norm. That's like, first of all, who asked who on a date? Let's be clear. Did he ask you? Then absolutely he needs to pay. Now, if you asked him on a date, maybe that makes a little more sense. Maybe. But in the culture we live in, generally speaking, men pursue women. Men ask the women on date. Men get down on one knee and propose. That's the world and culture that we live in. I'm not even getting into the scriptures on this. I'm saying, like, the men of Issachar in Chronicles knew the times and knew what to do. What times do we live in? What is the social cultural norms that we're in? And I'm talking about that are not antithetical to the Bible, that are not anti-biblical. The social cultural norms that we live in is men propose, men pursue, men ask the women on the dates. And, you know, generally speaking, you know, men are in that position of saying, hey, I want to be the person to demonstrate to you that I'm a responsible man and I can provide a sense of care and support in this particular area. So if you ask her on a date, absolutely you better pay. Like, don't even think about it. What are you talking about? Now, listen, if you are of the ilk and the mindset that, hey, you know, this is an old-fashioned patriarchal kind of circumstance, then that's fine. But I think, men, if she hasn't given you that clarity, follow the cultural norm, right? If you asked her on a date and she hasn't said, okay, we can go on a date, but I'm not with all that traditional roles and so on and so forth. So, you know, don't go in here thinking I want you to hold the door open for me and pay for my meal. Then you, if she didn't say that, then yes, you better take care of her. Like, yes. And that is typically how our society functions. So now, you know, we can get into a whole longer conversation about the traditional roles, about patriarchy, so on and so forth. But let's just assume the average person is not thinking about all those particulars. Let's just assume the average person is just like, hey, I like you, you like me, let's go out for food and, you know, to catch a show or something along those lines. Fellas, pay. Pay. Don't even think about it. If he asks you to pay anything, run. because he's not, he, something's wrong there. Like, unless this brother is walking around with, you know, a t-shirt on that says, women are king, you know what I'm saying? You just like, oh, you one of them type of dudes. Like, you should be baffled at the fact that this man is asking you to pay half of the date. I just think, personally, I'm old school. To me, that's what my mama would call trifling. That's trifling. You trifling, man. You asked her on a date, you pay for it. That's what I'm saying.
She wants to be the breadwinner of the family.
Okay, that's a red flag. Family finances are a team event, and I can appreciate, you know, wanting to be a higher level contributor to the family's income. But if that's the only motivator behind wanting to be the breadwinner is I want to earn the most income and give the most amount of money to the family, are we looking at everything that's possible and what is best from a team perspective?
When she gets married, she wants to merge your bank accounts.
Oh, that's a tough one. Red flag. So I'm married 23 years. We have a joint bank account, and that's for keeping the house and the family going, you know, stuff for the kids. And then she has her money and I have my money. And it makes it really easy for us to go and buy the things that we want to buy things for each other, and do it in a way that's kind of surprising.
Yeah, so her being a breadwinner, I guess if she desires to be the breadwinner, that's weird. Like, if a woman's like, I want to be the breadwinner, red flag. Like, that's just a red all day. Like, what? Why? Why is that your desire? That's weird. Now, if she's okay with being the breadwinner, it doesn't matter to her if she is or she isn't, green flag. That's green. Yeah, that's like, hey, it's not a big deal. If you are, if I am, doesn't matter to me. Dope. I love it. Again, like, I think we all have to understand the dynamics and the nature of our views and our values on, you know, our roles in the relationship, because everyone comes to it with different set of traditional beliefs, a different set of upbringing, a different perspective on it all. And I think we do ourselves a disservice when we try to make it very cut and dry, especially using the scriptures, like trying to manipulate the scriptures to create laws where there are no laws. Like, there's not a law that says she has to cook and clean. That's not in the Bible. You're not going to find that. Now, historically, traditionally, that's been a norm, but is it a norm because it's the preferred norm, or is it a norm because it was, you know, done so out of patriarchy or, you know, force? Like, that's the question you got to ask yourself. Me and my wife, our first argument was because she wanted to use paper plates. I wanted to use regular plates, right? And I felt like, man, people gave us these nice dishes for our wedding. We should eat off of them. She was like, no, because I don't feel like washing a bunch of dishes. We got paper plates. We can just throw them away. Now, a lot had happened that we didn't even realize in that scenario. Number one thing that happened was she grew up with means. I did not. So for me, I'm like, we finally got something nice. Let's eat off of it. She was like, I've always had. It's nothing. It's not going to go anywhere if we use them or we don't use them. Let's just be more about time management and eat off the paper plates. The second thing that happened was this. She had grown up seeing traditional roles, and she was like, I'm the one that has to wash the dishes. I didn't tell her that, by the way, but that's just what she felt like she needed to do. And so she's like, I would prefer to do paper. We didn't have enough communication to understand, like, whose responsibility was what and how that was going to flesh itself out. And so ultimately we got to a place where we figured out what works best in our home. And what works best in our home is looking at our strengths and our weaknesses. Where are you strong? Where am I weak? I'm much stronger in finances than she is. I'm better at managing the finances, figuring out a plan, structure, so on and so forth. So that falls under my jurisdiction. Because I'm more passionate about it, I'm more of a go-getter. I'm more of a like, hey, let's go figure this out. Let's go find ways to get this money, do this. I'm generally wired to be the breadwinner. That's me. And you know, she's fine with that. That doesn't bother her. You know, I've given her the opportunity to say, hey, is there something, a career path you want to choose? Is something you want to do? She has that option if she wants to. But at the same time, the dynamic of our relationship is one where she knows I do not mind being the sole provider. She does not have to work. And I do not personally prefer it to be the other way around. I don't want to not work. I want to work, right? So that's, if she gave me that option, I wouldn't take it, right? I wouldn't say, oh, thanks for telling me I don't have to work. Great. No, I want to work. It's my wiring. If she made more money than me, it wouldn't matter, right? It wouldn't make a difference. But I personally am like, hey, I just want you to know, I don't mind taking care of you financially. I don't mind being the sole breadwinner in the home. I'm okay with that. I think you got to understand the dynamic of your household and your relationship and not create laws where there don't need to be laws. I can be honest with you. I don't know a single thing about the teacher's planning meetings, about school meetings. That's her jurisdiction. She lets me know because I would fumble that bag every time. So we understand our roles and our responsibilities. We share certain chores in the house. You know, it's what works functionally for us. And so the reason why I would say it's a red flag if somebody's dying to be the breadwinner, if a woman feels like she needs to make sure she has to put her foot down and be the breadwinner, I would just say, man, that to me says more about some hurt or some issues that she may have been dealing with in terms of patriarchy, misogyny, that she may need to process. Because being a breadwinner is not an identity. It's what's best for our family collectively.
Would you date a guy that makes 75K a year?
No, that's so cute. No, no, no. With inflation and this economy, I absolutely could not. I don't think that he could afford our groceries. And I mean, and I'm buying organic, and obviously I'm buying all like grass-fed, grass-finished beef, no seed oils. So no, he couldn't afford that at Whole Foods. No, no, no.
No Whole Foods for this guy.
No Whole Foods. We're back at like Publix, like the sale section.
Like Walmart groceries.
Walmart groceries, yeah.
Fire truck red flag. Big red flag. Big red. Football field red flag. Red flag, red flag, red flag. And here's why. Why, if you are on a diet of expensive treats and exclusive snacks, then that means you can currently afford your diet of exclusive treats and expensive snacks. So why does your partner have to make enough money for you to partake in these expensive treats and exclusive snacks that you should already be providing for yourself if this is your quality of life? If you're looking for a partner to jump up your quality of life, and that's the only reason why you're trying to get with them, is because you want to marry someone who's going to increase not just the quality of your life, the financial you know, quality of your life. If that's the only reason why you're looking for them, red flag. Because at the end of the day, that's not going to sustain a marriage. That's not going to sustain a long-term relationship. Like, I'm not saying you want to marry someone irresponsible, but you could be marrying a very good guy who cares for you, who's going to work hard, who's going to work on developing his own skills, his character, who's got career ambitions, who plans on doing the things that it takes to put him in a better financial position. And you're passing on him right now because he can't afford to take you shopping at Whole Foods. But if you already shop at Whole Foods, it means you can afford to take yourself to Whole Foods. If Whole Foods wasn't your diet, then why has it got to be your diet once you marry this guy or this girl, right? So it's a red flag because at this juncture in time, they're only looking for financial security. They're not looking to be a mate, to partner with you in life. Like, marriage is not a financial security deal. That's not what it's about. Like biblically, it's literally about the sanctification of a human being. It's about making someone look more like Jesus, right? It's marriage is not like for the weak. Like, it's not just a frivolous thing. Like, people, there's a reason why my Paul said, I wish y'all would stay single like me, but if you got to, go ahead, because you may be burning with passion. Like, I don't have the gift, okay? I do not have it. Like, I saw my wife and I was like, nah, we ain't gonna be just friends. I'm gonna have to put a ring on that thing. Just saying. I just knew that there was some things that was gonna happen. I don't have the gift. I just knew I was not wired to be running around here monastically living like a monk. And that just wasn't going to be me. I was willing to take on the challenge and the frustration of being married in order to consummate. Okay? That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. But you got to be willing to take on that challenge. And it's not just about financial stability. You can do that on your own. You don't need him to do that for you or her to do that for you. You can do that on your own. You can be bad by yourself and you can be good by yourself. So if someone's only wanting to be with you because you're a financial asset, I say they haven't really counted the cost, because you could be a jerk. First of all, they could be a jerk, and all they care about is what you can offer financially. I'm not saying it's a bad thing to want someone who is stable, who's responsible, who is thinking fiscally. That's good. What I'm saying is it's bad if you put a dollar amount on the relationship as if that's the only thing you have to navigate. Now, I'm saying be responsible. A 75K is kind of crazy, because that's not terrible. Like, that she's acting like this man is broke. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not poverty level living. Like, you, if he makes 75 and you make 75, y'all are a six-figure family. What are we talking about? So unless you don't make 75 and you're like, nah, he got to carry the weight, that's a conversation that you got to, and that's the type of man that you, I mean, look, you get what you ask for. You know, you get what you ask. That's what you want. That's what you, if somebody's willing to be that, more power to you. I just don't think that's sustainable long-term. I don't think that's a healthy, happy relationship if it's based off of how much money somebody makes. And this is the thing I hate is, you know, I get it in terms of like the issues that we have with women, because I'm a man. But as I give critique to the women, I don't want you to think that men get off the hook, right? I don't want y'all to think that. Women, you cannot be out here looking for this high value man. And like, the only standard that you have is that he be a high value man so that he can take care of you. Like, that's ridiculous. You know, you're setting yourself up for failure. That's not love. That's not sacrifice. That's not, you know, like, that's what it takes to get you to bear somebody's burdens. That's what it takes to get you to deal with someone's brokenness. Like, that's what it takes to put up with someone's mom who's got issues, and to carry someone's children that you're going to care for, is that he's a high dollar man. Like, that's crazy if that's the selling point, right? Is he a man of character? Is he a man that you feel like is submissive to the spirit of God and he's going to listen and become the person that he needs to be? That's what you ought to be looking for, like a high character man, not a high value man. When my wife got with me, I was an early 20-something person. I had $7,000 to my name. That's what I saved up. I had $7,000 in college debt. That's who she married. $7,000 in college debt. And, you know, I was working for a cable company and rapping on the side, right? No. I had quit the cable company, so I was rapping. My income was inconsistent. Like, I would say probably on average, maybe like $35,000 a year, right? $35,000. And that's who she married. But she married me because of the quality of my character. Now, mind you, she's coming from a six-figure home. She was given a car for her 16th birthday. She was given a diamond necklace on her graduation. She comes from means. She's an only child. So she made a choice. But she believed in me. She believed in my character. She believed in the type of person that I wanted to be. And she knew I had her best interests in mind. And I was by hell or high water going to take care of this woman. She knew that based off of her friendship with me over a period of time. See, a lot of y'all are not being friends with people. So you got red flags flying everywhere because you got yourself involved in a relationship before you had a friendship. And that's the part of the problem is y'all got to be friends with people. And specifically my ladies, like, you got to guard your heart. Song of Solomon says to guard your heart, right? Don't awaken love before it's time. A lot of y'all are getting your heart all wrapped up in these individuals and these guys without really knowing the type of character that they are. And now you're so emotionally invested, you can't even see the red flags because all you see is red hearts. You know, you're in Google land. So you can't see him. Now you've gotten so invested. You are in the enchantment stage. It's not real life. You cannot make healthy decisions in the enchantment stage. A lot of times you spend let me tell you what you're doing wrong in these relationships. Number one, you're spending too much exclusive time with each other. Before you really get to know each other, right? You spend an exclusive time with each other, and what that's doing is it's helping you to not see the reality of other outside influences and perspectives. They're only showing you what they want you to see in this exclusive time period, right? It's just you and them all together, and y'all are just, you tell me something I want to hear, then I'm gonna tell you something you want to hear, then you tell me this, and then and it's vulnerability, you know, back and forth, and oh man, because in the real world, people don't get that vulnerable with you, so it feels like something endearing and great, but now you're getting your heart all twisted up in it, and you can't even see the red flags. Because all you're hearing is their story and their narrative, and you're watching their movie. You can't even see the bad production. You can't even see, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is not good acting, because you bought into the story at this point in time. And so what my suggestion is to become friends with people. My wife and I were friends for 8 years before we started dating. Right? That's not I'm not saying that is the recipe. What I'm saying is a healthy formula. Right? It's not the formula, but it's a healthy one. We were friends. And being friends, I got to know her. I got to know her character. I got to know who she was. She got to know me, my character, my drive, my will, my ambition, who I was before she could say, yeah, I'm going to commit to this dude. I'm going to get emotionally invested with this guy. And a lot of times we're getting emotionally invested in people long before we know who they are, long before we see their character. And so now it's like, you haven't been friends with them long enough to see the red flags. So in my opinion, if you meet somebody on the street, they're cute, you're attracted to them, hey, cool, why don't we be friends? Why don't we get to know each other? You know, instead of like Google Gaga on the phone all day long, talking about your loves, your likes, hey, I'm getting together with some of my friends, you can bring some of yours. You need to see them with their friends. That's when you see the real version of them. If you don't see them with their friends, you don't know who they are. When you see them with their friends, now you know them. Because their friends are gonna be like, what are you doing? Why are you acting like that? When they get around their friends, they're not gonna be like, yes, and Harvard was so amazing. Their friends are like, bro, you never went to Harvard? What are you talking about? Just play along. And now, if they got some trash friends, their friends may play along, and now you in over your head. But time will tell. Another thing is, if you don't like their friends, fellas, ladies, both, if you don't like their friends, that means you probably won't like them. If you look at all their friends, you're like, man, his friends are ignorant. They're liars. They're alcoholics. That's probably him. If he likes to keep this company all the time, that's probably who he is. So if you get around his friends, you're like, yo, these dudes are not good. They're not good for him. Don't be like, oh, he needs better friends. I can be his better friend. No, he needs to get rid of them. No, you need to get away from him. His friends are trash. He's probably trash. Just being honest. Nah, because you look at the five people you're hanging around, you're looking at yourself. Fellas, her friends are gossiping, backbiting, talking crazy about everybody. Like my mama says, a dog that brings a bone carries a bone. If they talk about everybody in front of you, what you think they're doing when you're not there? Talking about you. They brought you a bone? They're going to take your bone with them somewhere else. She's a part of that clique, that crew, that tribe. No good. No bueno. And so, you know, be friends with people. Get to know them, right? Like, you know, another thing is, too, it's like if a lot of times I see ladies, they're like, man, all he does is spend time with me. He's so great. I get all his time. That's a red flag. I know you feel like, man, look at all this exclusive time I get. He's making time for me. No, he might be codependent. Like, he don't got a life. He ain't got a job he need to get to. He ain't busy. He's not studying. He's not growing. He's not developing himself. That's scary. If all his every waking hour, all he has is time for you, that's not going to be a good thing. I know y'all are like, yo, but I just want all these. He gives me so much time. He gives me all his time. You're probably codependent. He probably didn't have much going for him. So it's the difference when someone is telling you they're really busy, they got a lot going on, and they make time for you. That's dope. That's a green flag. Because you know they're busy, they're getting it, they're going after their goals, their dreams, they're focused, and then they took time and made it for you. That's different. I tell this often, but like when I was in college, I was very arrogant. You know, I thought I was God's gift to women. I'm tall, I'm articulate, you know, I think I'm pretty smart, I got talents, and I just thought I was God's gift. And I joined a fraternity, and my fraternity, you know, Kappa Alpha Psi Fraternity Incorporated, generally the pretty boys, right? So that didn't do much but help inflate my ego. So now I got this inflated ego, and I'm on campus, and I remember, man, just being a sophomore now in college, and I was the man. You couldn't tell me I wasn't the man. And I remember seeing the freshman girls, and this is a true story, true story. I walk up to these girls, and I remember telling one of them, yo, I'm going to do you a favor. I'm going to let you get to know me. I don't even want your number. Take mine. Call me at such and such a time. Like, that's the amount of arrogance I walked with on a regular basis. And I was nothing but an objectifier, right? I thought I was the gift and I'm doing them a favor. So they either got to be a trophy on my arm or, so I've seen my fair share of insecure women and manipulated them and, you know, misogynized and objectified them because I had this aura and this power that I wielded at will. And when I met the Lord and he humbled me and he broke me and he showed me that my value, my worth was not in my stature, my looks, my intelligence, any of those particular things, I had to be single for a period of time because I had to learn what it meant to not be affirmed by women. I had to learn what it meant to not be in a relationship and just know that I was who God said I was and that I didn't need another person to come around and say, you matter, you're something, you fine, you cute, you smart, blah, blah, blah. I had to learn I'm God's. I was like Paul. Now, I got so focused on being who God called me to be. It was like I was running a race. As I'm running this race, I'm just chasing after who God's called me to be. I'm running. I'm focused. That's it. So I don't have time to think about anything else. I'm not thinking about relationships because I'm focused. It just so happened that as I'm running, I'm like, I hear something next to me. So I took a quick look. I looked. She's gorgeous. But more than anything, she's running with me after the same God I'm running after. We're both chasing after the same thing, running side by side. Ladies, she was not running ahead of me looking backwards. Like, oh, he's cute, right? Trying to grab my hand, dragging me. Stop dragging men. He can't keep up. Don't run with him. He's supposed to be a leader, not a follower. If he's a follower of Jesus, great. But he cannot lead you if he ain't following Jesus. So don't reach back grabbing his hand. Stay on your journey. I'm on my journey. I'm running. She's on her journey. She's running. I look over. I say, excuse me. I notice that you're running in the same direction I'm running in, after the same thing I'm running after, trying to become the same kind of person I'm trying to become. Would you like to run this race together? And we've been holding hands running that race ever since. Now, it ain't been perfect. Right? It's a three-legged race sometimes. You stumble, you fumble, right? But we know where we're going. A lot of times you're going somewhere and the other person has no idea where they're going. You're trying to drag them to where you're going. They don't know where they're going. That's a red flag. What are your goals? What are your interests? What's the major thing you're concerned about? They don't know. So why would you run with them? Why would you get in a race with them? Why? Hey, where are you taking this? I don't know. I'm just driving. No, get out the car, girl. What are you doing? He don't know where you're going. Get out the car. Listen, at the end of the day, you know, you have to learn. Number one, it's okay to be single. It's okay to be the person that God has called you to be. And you don't need another person to affirm you in that. But if you so decide to run this race with someone else, man, choose wisely. It's a lifelong race. Choose wisely, because your heart is going to be invested and it will be broken if you don't choose wisely. Avoid heartache. Avoid pain. Avoid those things. Avoid breaking someone else's heart and avoid creating pain for someone else by saying, you know what? I don't know if I'm really on this race. I don't know if we're on the same race. I'm not ready to run. Stop holding hands, running with people if you don't know where you're going. Stop. I think that the pursuit of God and following Jesus is an amazing relationship. I think running with someone else is going to complicate that. But it is a sanctifying and beautiful process. If you're only looking for the roses and the smiles and the belly rubs, you're in it for the wrong thing. Those are the byproduct of commitment. Like, happiness is not what we're after. Happiness is the byproduct of chasing the Lord. Happiness is the byproduct of following God and loving someone well and treating them with respect and care and kindness. Happiness is not the goal. It's the byproduct. So stop creating the foundation of your relationships as happiness. He makes me happy. She makes me happy. I just want to be happy. Happy, happy, happy. Something has to happen for you to be happy. Happiness is the byproduct of a life worth living, of a life committed to following God and being who He's called you to be. I want you to be happy. But more than happy, I want you to be whole.